The Rogue Valley and the world have watched the growth of Brammo, a company that made its mark making electric motorcycles. Brammo got big enough a few years ago to move its major Rogue Valley operations into a former Walmart building in Talent. Then last year, a sale. The motorcycle line went to the Polaris company, and the models are now sold under the Victory brand. But Brammo, without the motorcycles, still appears to be growing, with recent word of millions of dollars in contracts for its remaining product lines and services. Craig Bramshire is the founder of Brammo. I think now we know where the name came from. So, Craig, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Talk about the birth of the company. First of all, the idea of electric motorcycles, was it pretty radical back in 2001?
We actually began the company just in power sports and performance what I called machine lust, you know, things that you loved to spend time with that you happened to be transportation.
You want to go vroom vroom,
yeah.
But maybe without the vroom vroom
yeah.
sound. Yeah.
And so we were building a car called the Aerial Atom in ScienceWorks for a while, and Jay Leno was one of our first customers. So we got a lot of experience about manufacturing, and we hadn't yet really stumbled on electric, and that really happened in 2007. And we had the idea to build an electric motorcycle, mostly coming out of we were going to build an electric car, but it was just way too much capital to pull that off, as we've seen from Tesla, right?
Right.
$3 billion or so. So it was more than I thought I could raise.
In an age of motorcycles where we've seemed to have gone all toward the teeth-rattling Harleys, and even the motorcycles that are not Harleys try to look like them, I notice. Was this a tricky marketing move to go for the electric motorcycle?
It was. It was a huge challenge, and unfortunately, you know, the timing of the economy in 2008 stifled what I think still was a great idea, and that Best Buy was an investor and partner. So we were going to sell consumer electronics you ride right out of the front of Best Buy stores, and they exposed the bikes to, you know, maybe 50 or 60 times the number of people that motorcycle stores would have. But the economy changed, and Best Buy changed pretty dramatically. And so that changed that opportunity for us.
Well, in a sense, though, it's good that you worked with at least an electronics company that survived, as opposed to going with Circuit City or something.
Exactly. And they've been a great supporter ever since. It just didn't make sense for them to keep trying to grow in that new kind of innovative area.
So given the difficulty, I mean, you're start cranking out these cycles essentially a year before the economy crashes. I mean, how were you able to hold on?
Well, we were very fortunate. We were able to raise capital. So we've raised, you know, a lot of money over the last 4 years. But we've been able to advance the technology and kind of keep moving the ball in terms of the capability of the motorcycles. So when we first started, it was really just barely good transportation, you know, in terms of range and everything. But then we ended up evolving and building our own batteries, and that really became the genesis of our kind of competitive advantage. So late in 2014, that's when we had the conversation with Polaris. We said, we can either take another $100 million from investors and build a brand and start all these dealerships, or you've got 3,000 of them. Maybe you should do that, and we focus on the technology.
All right, so rather than them investing in Brammo, you just sold the motorcycle line to them.
Right, and then we became their supplier. So almost overnight, we moved from a motorcycle company to initially motorcycle powertrain supplier to Polaris, and then we saw that the powertrain opportunity was much bigger outside of motorcycles.
So the thing that drives the motorcycles is adaptable to a whole bunch of different potential vehicles and uses?
It turns out that solving for a motorcycle was much less capital intensive than Tesla, for instance. You know, it wasn't going to take $3 billion, but it might have been harder. You had to be lighter, smaller, cheaper, and motorcycles just don't have much space on them, you know, for powertrain.
Right. So how difficult were any of these decisions? I mean, first of all, to try to figure out, just when you're actually still manufacturing a product, to decide, okay, we're going to make the batteries ourselves versus we're going to take some off-the-shelf technology. I mean, how long will a decision process like that take? I mean, days, months?
Yeah, that's actually a very great question, because it was one we labored over for some time. Fortunately, we made the decision a little easier for ourselves, because we were building batteries to go racing, but we never thought we could go into production. But we kept pushing the limits by going racing and going, oh, you know, battery company, why can't you build one like I just built for this race bike? It goes 160 miles an hour. And, you know, the big cell manufacturers would say, well, you can't really do that. And so we saw that as an opportunity because we had just done it.
So your engineers were saying, well, yeah, you can do
right.
that.
Right. Like, hey, it's working right there. And probably the biggest issue was we were building very expensive batteries initially. But that pushed the technology along so that we could figure out how to build the same power and energy density and safety and all the things that were so critical.
So in addition to the decisions you have to make when you got a product line still going out, then when you decide, okay, this isn't going to be our product line anymore, I mean, the motorcycles were your baby, I'm thinking. So, I mean, yeah. How hard was it to say, oh, here you go, Polaris, it's yours for this price tag?
You know, it's been the hardest decision since we started the company, I think, and ironically the best. So that's the lesson that I learned, that no matter the longer you want to hold on to something, that actually may be the thing you have to let go of, and that's really hard.
Okay. Craig Bramshaw is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder of Brammo Incorporated, known as an electric motorcycle manufacturer, sold the motorcycle business off to Polaris, but kept the drivetrain and battery technology business, and has since brought in a minimum $58 million in contracts. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about his business and how others might take some lessons from Brammo as well. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what are some of the uses that the drivetrain in particular has outside of motorcycles?
Well, we were looking at, you know, obviously the biggest market is passenger cars. You know, it's kind of like laptops and passenger cars. And Tesla said, let's take the laptop battery and put it in a passenger car because it's already commoditized. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest issue, is how to get the cost down but keep the safety up. So we had focused on non-cylindrical cells, kind of a pouch cell, mm-hmm. which is well known in automotive now for people like GM and Nissan and folks like that. But we realized we're not going to sell to Nissan or GM. You know, they've got gigantic organizations. So we started focusing on everything that was an opportunity outside of passenger cars. So we have opportunities for buses, for, you know, every material handling, like Polaris has multiple companies, mm-hmm. GEM, you know, the small people shuttles that you'll even see some around town where they're an open air car that goes 35
sure.
miles an
mm-hmm.
hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, essentially almost anything like UTVs, the farm dog that was, you know, built up
right.
in town. That's a great application for it. And then we're finding everything from portable mobile storage. So there's companies that make large gen sets that are mobile power that maybe have a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack and a diesel generator, and then that can be dropped in on a site to provide power. So we're seeing kind of a broad range. There's about 9 or 10 markets that we're in already.
First place I heard the term gen set is with railroad locomotives, where you'll have like 3 gen sets under one hood, and
right.
the engines turn on as needed. Is that one of the applications you're potentially looking at?
Yeah. One of the applications, they want to be able to turn off the diesel in opportune applications when maybe they don't want radar or heat seeking vision to see it, you know, in a military application,
yeah.
or anytime you want to fire up a new location, you know, like even oil wells and things, you mm-hmm. know, where when they first go to a spot where they're going to drill, there's no power there. So having portable power show up at that location is something that's kind of interesting for them. And by having batteries and diesel, you basically create a hybrid generator set.
So when you talk about energy density, and this seems to be like the major issue that has been for before companies making batteries for transportation purposes, is that trying to make sure that you get a good amount of power and distance out of it, but not so much weight that the thing just drags.
Right.
So I mean, how just in the time that you've been working on this with Brammo, how much has that changed?
Yeah, so the first batteries we bought for the Inertia, our first model, were about $1,250 mm-hmm. Per kilowatt hour, and we could only get about 3 kilowatt hours on a small suitcase size
uh-huh.
battery that fit in the bike. And today, we've just released a bike that's at the Isle of Man that has a little bit bigger suitcase size, uh-huh. but it's got 21 kilowatt hours on board. And so that the math is basically it's gone from about 60 watt hours per kilogram to 170. So it's more than doubled in just the last few years.
And you said that at the beginning it was 1250 for each kilowatt. How what's it down to now?
Yeah, we're seeing, depending on market, you know, because the packaging around the batteries is different levels mm-hmm. of complexity, but we're seeing targets, you know, to in the next year or two to get under $400 $10 per kilowatt hour.
So, wow, less than a third of what it was before.
Yeah.
The so what kinds of contracts have you secured? I mean, you mentioned when you came in, I was asking about the reports about the $58 million in contracts.
Right.
And you said that's really a minimum.
It is. It's very exciting because the contracts represent what the companies are willing to say. We will absolutely write these checks, but we think it's going to be much bigger than that. So make sure we're prepared to handle the volume as it comes. So the interesting thing is Brammo's become a partner with some very big companies that we can't announce yet because they're in stealth on what they're bringing out.
Darn it, I was going to ask you their names. And
yeah, exactly. But the opportunities for some of these companies, even though they're giant companies and they have, you know, some capabilities in-house for powertrain, what we're finding out is that very few companies outside of the GMs and Chrysler and folks like that have the ability to develop their own electric powertrain. And some of them outsource their powertrain in general, like they buy a motor or something from someone else. And in the case of an electric drivetrain, it's fairly complex. You know, it's got to be the right balance of power and performance and range, as you mentioned.
So you talked about being able to keep up with this. I mean, what's your current workforce and what do you have to gear up to and where, for that matter?
Yeah, so great challenge. We're just under 60 people right now, and we're out raising money one more time basically to take us through to profitability to basically ramp up. So we need to add a lot of capability over the next 24 months in terms of people and heavily on engineering, and we're adding a lot of automation on the assembly side. So the previous conversation about people learning about bots and things like that is actually near and dear to our hearts because we're putting a lot of robots in the battery assembly plant.
Which is how manufacturing is done these days. You find people who build the robots and the robots build the products.
Absolutely. You still end up with a lot of people, but I think their average salary is a little higher because they're building the robots.
Craig Bramshire is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder of Brammo Inc., which has recently announced $58 million in contracts and, as he points out, at a minimum. So you have to, triple the workforce, do you think?
Yeah, what we're trying to determine right now is how we service customers all over the country and eventually all over the world. So obviously this is our anchor and our headquarters. So we're trying to planning that right now, how much we need to grow. But it's very clear if you just look at industry standards, if you get to be a couple $100 million company, the average revenue per head is, you know, somewhere between 500,000 and a million in great companies. So the math says we're going to be, you know, several hundred people within a few years.
So as I understand, when the motorcycles were still in-house, that they were being final assembly was overseas, but were the powertrains built in Talent?
So actually, we tried that for a couple of years in 2009 through 2012, and we had a partner that was doing that, but we brought it back to the United States, and we've been building the bikes really since I think 2012, mm-hmm. Because we the economies of scale, we weren't big enough volume where we could really take advantage of those guys. So it was a good idea, but it was planned on that kind of before 2008 ramp of motorcycle sales.
So of the contracts you're talking about now, how's the division between batteries versus drivetrain? Or is it often a single unit kind of thing where somebody wants the batteries and the drivetrain together?
Yeah, it tends to be a mix, but the lion's share of the revenue is going to be around battery modules because they're expensive. But the mix is, 20 to 30% of the contract is usually actually engineering to design a specific battery for our customers and then integrating the powertrain. So whether it's the motor, the controller, or connecting to existing vehicle systems in some cases.
All right. So some real custom engineering here custom at the front end, to design for the product.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it turns out that there is no perfect standard battery module. There is no double A for industry, or something like that. So we've got a lot of opportunity to build those custom packs. But what we're trying to do is we've approached it from a very modular standpoint because we were so small we couldn't build 15 different battery packs if they were all from scratch. So we've come up with kind of a modular, kind of a Lego approach where we can snap together systems and end up giving a customer maybe 20 different battery packs, but at the cost of maybe just a couple.
Are these all lithium ion? Anything like that?
Yeah, our primary chemistry right now is NMC, but for the most part, We have stayed chemistry and cell agnostic. By not partnering with a specific cell manufacturer, we can always find the right one for the customer. So there's cases where lithium iron phosphate makes more sense, and then there's cases where maybe it's got a lot more cobalt in it because we need a lot more performance.
So when you're talking about ramping up production, ramping up employment, do you have the people you need in the Rogue Valley? Can you get the people you need in the Rogue Valley, or do you you're gonna have to pull in people from lots of other places?
We definitely have a combination of those, but for the most part, the type of engineers that we're looking for that understand or have experience with electric vehicles, they're not that easy to find. So we pull from all around the country. Although, ironically, we figured out we've got about 350 years of electric vehicle experience in our core team, and most of our core team has been there 7 or 8 years as an average. So we're very proud of that.
Given where you could end up in a couple of years and the kinds of people you can get, and then shipping costs and things like that, is the Rogue Valley the place you'll stay? I mean, would there be reasons you'd think about other places to locate?
My plan is to stay here, but I'm pretty sure we'll expand and have multiple facilities both around the country and around the world.
Mm-hmm. Exciting time. Do you get many hours of sleep at night?
I was discussing with my wife the sleep patterns, and I think I'm not sleeping for different reasons. You know, it's like haven't slept for 10 years, but for a while it was just pure stress on how to get the money and how to find the market and how to evolve the electric motorcycle market. And now it's how do we possibly fulfill all these contracts? But we're very excited about it.
A lot of work ahead at Brammo Inc. Craig Bramsher is the founder. He's been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange today. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.